This is a segment we call Moral Minefield. It's where we take ethical dilemmas and we put them to a professional, Tim Dean. He's a lecturer at the School of Life. He's a PhD in philosophy, and he's always down to unpack a little bit of ethical boxes to be unpacked, I guess. Tim, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Always down for that.
Well, this week, this is probably one of the more, like, this is one that is really tricky. I don't really know what the teaching is on this. I'm hoping you can help me with this, because I know that with comedy, right, and with theatre and film and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of work that doesn't age well, right? Like, for example, the show Friends. I know people watching that back now are pointing out how there's definitely a little bit of transphobia, I think, in the series. Chandler's dad is a drag queen, and then throughout the series, that's kind of like something they use against Chandler as like a way to berate him, and they use the wrong pronouns when referring, and all this different stuff, which, looking back now, definitely, if Friends was released now, I assume that wouldn't be part of the show. So, I mean, where does that leave us, like, as viewers? Are people wrong, do you think, to be enjoying the show Friends now, or is it more complicated than that? Where does the world of philosophy kind of teach us about this kind of stuff, do you think?
Yeah, right. You know, it's a really good question, and people do ask me this from time to time. It comes up amongst my philosopher colleagues as well as amongst my friends about how do we engage with stuff that was produced in a time when we had different values to what we have today. This is brought up in a lot of other contexts as well, even before Friends, which is, you know, the recent example. You can think back to something like Mark Twain. You can think back to something like Huckleberry Finn, the kinds of language that is used in there, talking about slavery, the way that African Americans are addressed, and, you know, using the infamous N-word, which is a particularly touchy issue in America, where these race issues are still, are still being contested and still being debated. And there's a lot of sensitivity around that, right? Because we want to behave and we want to speak in a way that reflects our values today. And when we come across something from even only a couple of decades ago, where the language is not as sensitive towards those things, it can unsettle us. So, I mean, the first thing I'd say, though, is the very fact that we are a little bit unsettled by that is a good thing, right? It's actually showing that we've made progress. It's showing that we are identifying something about that medium, about that content that is problematic and that was probably overlooked. And I think there's a really important lesson there, right? Because even within only 20 years, the norms have changed. And one thing that has happened with things around, say, homosexuality or certain aspects of race, is these things were just built into our language. They were just built into our behavior. We were really uncritical about the way that we spoke about a lot of things. It wasn't even visible to us that we felt that way, and that we were representing these things in problematic ways and that were potentially causing harm. So even being able to identify that is a good thing. But the whole point, right, is that a lot of people didn't notice that these things were harmful a while ago. So it's not that they were being malicious deliberately. I mean, there are plenty of cases of people being, you know, overtly racist or homophobic. But a lot of the times people were just being implicitly so, or just, you know, these values were embedded. So the first thing is, look, we need to recognize that this is actually kind of a good thing. In terms of whether we should, whether we're allowed to enjoy it or not, I think if you're identifying that there are problematic aspects to it, and you're teasing them out and you're acknowledging those things, then I think there is still room to enjoy. There is still room to engage with the positives. There's almost nothing, there's almost no piece of art, or let's not call Friends art, but there's almost no piece of, you know, work or creativity that's been made over the last few thousand years that is either all good or all bad. There are going to be some contextual problems and, you know, other kinds of moral issues and everything. So if we're identifying the negative stuff, we're acknowledging that, I think we can also recognize and enjoy the positive aspects as well. It's just a bad thing if you skip over the negative things, if you don't recognize them and you just think this is the way we should be behaving.
So what about maybe if, you know, let's say next week a TV channel decides we're going to do let's use Friends in this example, a Friends marathon all week, and obviously you know, they're aware of the maybe problematic issues. Is that then stepping the line, do you think?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. It really depends on how much you trust the audience,
right,
to be able to parse this stuff, right? How much you trust the audience to look at something. And if you're worried that they're going to accept this uncritically, if you're worried that people are going to say, I see that they're speaking in a certain way, so that permits me to speak in a certain way, that normalizes that kind of behavior. And so that means that I can then go out and speak in that kind of way as well. Yeah, that is problematic, right? So there's no right answer in the sense that we can just say, you can roll this kind of content out. Like, so Mark Twain, like Huckleberry Finn, would not be taught in schools without a lot of discussion around the use of language, without a lot of discussion precisely around what are the kinds of tropes and things and expectations in this language and in this world that is being depicted here that we no longer agree with. So if it's being delivered uncritically, if it's being delivered in a way that is going to just skim over those things, yeah, I think that can be problematic. There's another dimension to it as well, which is if we believe that there is direct harm being done by particular types of language or particular types of expression, yeah, that can give us a reason to say, no, we're not going to display this, we're not going to promote this. But there's a lot of spectrum here, right? And it's an open discussion about whether we think in particular situations the harm is grave enough to be withdrawing that, because there's also the possibility that we are missing out on some good moral tales that might be in Friends. Now, okay, maybe that's not a great example, but there are some interesting moral tales in Huckleberry Finn, for example. So we don't want to necessarily completely restrict it. And then there's also the dangers of going overboard and getting too censorship-oriented, right? If there's a particular body, and censorship is really a top-down thing. If there's a particular body that is saying, we think this is morally problematic and we're not even going to give people access to it, so that they can judge for themselves, that can become too dangerous if we enact that on too strong a level as well. I mean, so there's not really an easy answer to this kind of stuff, but I think talking about it and teasing out some of these dimensions right away, we're doing some good moral work.
Yeah, well, Tim, it's been another, definitely I've learned a lot. All these little sessions, I'm always learning something new, and we do appreciate you coming as always. We'll catch you in August. You're heading away. So in the meantime, if people are, have any ethical dilemmas or questions of their own, please do hit us up. And then when Tim gets back, we'll be able to hit him up and throw a few his way. Tim, we'll catch you in August.
Yeah, see you then.